Good morning, everybody. I would like your undivided attention, please. Thank you. Today is the day. Today is the day of the Lord that He has determined for us. Today. Can you say today?
Today.
Today. Some of you know about the revival that started at Asbury University in Kentucky, and a lot of you don't know about it yet. And you need to know about it because it's going to be here. It's going to be right here. Here. Right here. 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 Because it's spreading. February 8th, at 10:30 in the morning at the end of their chapel time at Asbury University, a young man stood up and he confessed his sins, which was most unusual, but he was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And at the moment he confessed his sins, the Holy Spirit hit the entire congregation. Not a one of them could stay, or move, rather. They had to stay. And that began a revival of 24 hours, 7 days a week, until today. This small university in Kentucky has been hosting thousands of people, some coming from all over the world, in a small chapel that's designed to seat 1,000 people, with at least 1,500 of them flooding every moment. They stay for about 2 hours at a time, and they leave, and another group comes in. And there is a 1/2 mile long list of people waiting to get in. 1/2 mile long, waiting to get in, because the presence of God is there. It isn't as though God is not everywhere, because He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But then He is at special times and seasons manifesting Himself in a particular place because of a reason that only He and the people know. And you know what that reason is? It's hunger for Him. Hunger for Him. Nothing else. I just want more of Him. And when that young man stood up and in front of everybody confessed that he had failures in his life, the grace of God moved in. Here's what it says in John chapter 1 and in verse 14. I can't do this without you, God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here's something we must always understand. For God's grace to move upon us, there must be truth in our lives. Truth always will precede the grace of God on us. Do you know the story about the Syrophoenician woman? She came to Jesus and she said, "Jesus, my daughter is vexed of an evil spirit." Jesus looked at her and He said, "Ah, you're one of the dogs. You're not part of Israel." She said to Him, "But even the dogs have the right to eat the crumbs that fall off the table." And He said, "Truth. Truth. Honesty. Honesty. And for this saying, your daughter is healed." Truth opens the door to God's grace. Today, God is going to visit you with truth about your life, so that His grace can come upon you in the most unusual, powerful way to affect you for His good and His glory, because everything is about Him. Revivals are not just about us. They are primarily about God. It's His presence. Presently, there are 18 other venues or places where this revival has spread, and several countries, including Brazil, Indonesia. I can't remember all the places where people have seen glimpses of the videos of what's taking place at Asbury, and they want in and they call out to God and God comes. I wonder if you're ready, if you're wanting, if you're hungry, if you're needy, if you're unafraid. Let me tell you something about the prayer meeting I was in this past Friday with pastors. I've been meeting with a group who, for about a year and a half, have been praying for revival. And this past Friday, there was a roar that went up from us. We never have an agenda. We just come before God. And we begin to pray, and we pray in tongues, because that opens us up to the spiritual realm. And as we pray in tongues, and God gives us scripture, and we share scripture, and then we pray in English, then we pray in tongues. And we prayed in tongues for the longest time, and I felt waves of the Spirit up and down upon us. And I cannot say, I'm afraid to say, that we had revival, but we did have His presence. That's kind of like a mercy drop, indicating that there was more to come, a lot more to come. And one of the pastors said, I have a confession to make. I remember, he said, when I was a young man and there was a move of God at one of the colleges he was in, a Christian college, and they were talking about the Holy Spirit and all the things the Holy Spirit did and the supernatural realm of the Spirit that would manifest. And he got afraid and fearful, and he didn't want God to mess with his life or change him in such a way. And he didn't want that experience to happen for him. And there are always people like that. They don't want God to come along. They want to keep God in their own realm. Like, I have enough, and that's it. I don't want any more, but God has other plans. He wants us to be filled with His fullness. And yet there are some, I've known this throughout history, who resisted God, who resisted the Holy Spirit, who resisted the supernatural, who were fearful and reluctant. And He's with these people, and they were all praying for God to fill the place with His presence. And he was saying, "Ah, not me, not me. Oh, not me." And then all of a sudden, he felt the presence of God come into the room. He said he could feel it come down like a heavy cloud, a weight, and it came down right above his head and then moved off to the side and left him. And he felt the most lonely he had ever felt, like God had passed him by. And then he realized he was telling God he didn't want him. He didn't want the supernatural. He didn't want God to manifest in any particular way. He was reluctant for that. He didn't want that to happen. And then he felt himself all alone and separated. And then he cried out to God to forgive him. And the Lord came back and touched him. I don't want anybody here today to ever resist the Holy Spirit for whatever reason. For whatever reason. You must be open to Him with all of your heart, all of your soul. Are you ready? Are you hungry? God tests the hungry of our hearts. He knows us inside and out, and He will not be fooled. This continual revival at Asbury University maybe have to move to Lexington, Kentucky, which is about, I think they said, 15 miles away, to Rupp Auditorium. It's a huge stadium covered for basketball, seats 21,000 people. That might happen because the university can't handle all the people that are showing up. But whatever, wherever, God is not going to be contained to one place. He will go where He's wanted. He will go to whom calls upon Him. I don't know. Do you want to be one of those guys like this pastor confessed, where God passes him by? I would that none of us ever experience that. You don't want God to pass you by, do you? Anybody here want God to pass him by? Anybody says, I'm not ready for that, I don't want that? Anybody say, I'm afraid, I don't know what God will do? That's right, you don't. Psalm 16 and verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Thou wilt lead me in the paths of life. The purpose, the direction, the ways of your life will be determined by the presence of God in your life. There are decisions that you have to make, things you have to do, prayers that you've offered up that are going to come to pass as you walk in the presence of the Lord. Your future is about to begin in a fresh and new way. Let me give you two reasons why a revival comes. The first one is in Psalm 85 and verse 6. The psalmist cries out to God and he says, "Will you revive us again?" Again, meaning there have been seasons of revival. The history of God dealing with his people have been seasons of reviving his people throughout all of history, the history of Israel as well as the church. And the reason for it, what does it say in that scripture? Can you read it? Wilt thou revive us again? Why? The goal of revival is his people will rejoice in him. He is the center of revival. Everything else fades. Rejoicing in God takes precedence. The purpose of the church is to know God and to love him. Everything else is second. Right now, God wants to revive you so that you can rejoice in him more than you ever have. You say, "Oh, well, I do. I like God. I love him. You don't know the measure of that joy and love yet until God cleanses your hearts, your souls, your lives, your thoughts, your ambitions, your religious activities, your ministry, your business, all the things that take precedent. When he begins to wipe those things away and leave you with him, then you will rejoice like never before. He's got to be first. Second reason for revival is in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. First reason is that God wants to revive us so we rejoice in him. The second reason, Habakkuk says, "Will you not revive your works in the midst of the years?" Meaning, whatever you and the whole church have been doing may not be exactly what God wants to do. I remember when the charismatic movement, which is what was called when God poured out his spirit in the late 60s and throughout the 70s, and the Holy Spirit was falling on millions of people around the world, and they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a call for the restoring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. And God hit denominational churches first. He actually hit the Catholics out in Duquesne University, and then it spread to Notre Dame. It's interesting how God starts in universities. And they were all speaking in tongues and filled with the Holy Spirit, and the joy of the Lord began to spread in them. So the first thing is that there was great worship. I'm going to continue to give you some more understanding about this. But what was restored, the works of God that got restored, were quite interesting. First of all, the Holy Spirit came back into the church, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit began to manifest in the church again. And there were these nine gifts of the Spirit, including healings and miracles, tongues, interpretation, prophecies, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of faith and healing. And they all began to operate. And God took over the churches And there was nobody literally running them as God would move about the whole congregation, and people would share, prophesy, have interpretations, dreams and visions, healings and miracles taking place. And that was a restoration of his works. How many of you remember those days? A few of you were here. But a lot of you don't know this history. That's why you need to be revived, because you need to be brought back into the things that have disappeared and need to come back, that God's works would come back again to the church. During that time, that extraordinary time, millions of people got born again as the Holy Spirit flooded the churches, and people in the churches got born again, and then before long, thousands of non-denominational churches got raised up, including the Fellowship of Life. Our history was born in a charismatic, call it whatever, renewal, revival, whatever. God was flooding the church with his presence, restoring his works, and raising up new churches with multitudes of new believers. During that time, there were men like John Wimber, who is now deceased, and other movements throughout the United States that produced the most glorious worship songs that we sang and sang and sang. Some of them are still around today. Why were they produced? Because of the joy of the Lord in the people who sang their hearts out and began to produce the most wonderful, scriptural-based music, more so than even today, what we sing. His works were restored. We have not only scriptural proof, but evidence of how God manifests according to his word, that he will do these things. He has done them before. He will do them again. We are at the cusp, right at the edge, right at the beginning, right at the doorway, right at the precipice. The entrance of, the moment of, the visitation of God today. I believe it with all of my heart, all my soul, everything that is in me, that God will come to you today. And today is a day for some of you to be awakened beyond anything you have ever known and to receive the glorious presence of God in your life that you have ever experienced. And if you're hungry, God will visit you. Just like the notice in the bulletin that says that he's knocking at the door and wants to come in and sup with you. Do you want him in? If you want him in, let him know. Let him know. Open the door and let him in, because today is a day for you. And that's all I have to say. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Today. Today. Today, 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 come, come to the dry, come to the weary, come to the thirsty, come to the hungry, come to those who are drained, those who are just listless, who are just slogging through life, come to all of us, come to us, God, come to us, fill us, flood us, that you will be glorified in our lives, that we will rejoice in you. We need you, we need you, we need you, we need you. We want you. Not only do we need you, we want you. We want you above and beyond anything we have ever, ever known. Come, Lord. Praise you, God. We're going to just let the Holy Spirit, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your continual salvation, your work of saving grace in our lives. Do not stop your work in us, Lord. Your word promises that you will complete the work that you've started in us. You will finish it. It is a good work. Continue, God. Pick up your great work in us, the work of turning us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. That is the greatest work. that many sons be brought to glory. We welcome that, Lord. The Lord just spoke this to me from Isaiah 58. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger. God wants to take judgment out of your life right now. If you have any judgments in you, towards others, towards anybody, ask God to forgive you at this moment. Criticisms, judgments, finger pointing, gossip. Let it be removed from your heart right now. Jesus. Thank you, God. You cannot lay blame at other people for your responses. They are either in God or they are not. Do not justify yourselves for things that go on in your life. Do not speak wickedness. But let your speech be yea and amen. Let it always be seasoned with grace. God wants to give you the tongue of the righteous. Right now, let him cleanse your thought life and your speech and remove from you all judgments. For some, there is a fountain of cleansing. For an accumulation of thoughts and sins and deeds that you know have not been righteous, that over the years have piled up, and you have come to the place where you feel like, I don't know if God will forgive me. But the Lord is saying to you right now, every sin, every thought, every deed of unrighteousness, I have covered with my blood, and you will be set free if you accept this truth right at this moment. And amen to that. Go ahead and let your prayers go up to him. He hears everyone. He knows every thought before you utter it. Go ahead.
I'd just like to read from Psalm 51:10, if that's all right, if you guys don't need to open up to it. But I'd like to read this and then paraphrase a prayer for the whole church right now, actually. God, create a clean heart for me. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. Father, I ask that you cleanse us all, consecrate us to you, God, that you would purify all our hearts, minds, and bodies, that you would renew a steadfast spirit within us, God, that you would revive us. Don't pass us over. Not because we want to be known for anything, but because we want to give you all the glory, and you're deserving of it all. Lord, that you would restore the joy of your salvation to us and teach us what the true meaning of joy is, being saved to you and having peace with our God. Knowing that we are saved from sin and we're no longer bound to it. And we can call you our Heavenly Father, and we can call Christ our friend. Lord, that you would sustain us by giving us willing spirits to do your will and be obedient to what you've called us to do, yes, so that we can teach the rebellious your ways and they will return to you. Yes. God, how can we teach them if we haven't learned? Teach us your ways, God. Give us willing spirits, We are hungry and thirsty for you, God, for righteousness, for holiness in our lives, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would purify us all right now of stumbling blocks in our lives that are keeping us from entering into a more intimate place with you, that are keeping us from walking in power and truth, that it's inhibiting us from teaching and preaching to the lost, ministering to those who need you so desperately. God, forgive us for being so selfish as to think more about ourselves than those around us that are perishing. Lord, that you would forgive me of having a critical spirit. Forgive me. Father, I hate it. I hate it with everything that's in me. Pray that you cleanse me, God. I know it doesn't look anything like you, and I just want to look like your son. I just want to be like him. Yes. For God, for anyone else who's struggling, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse us of any critical spirit right now that's causing us to judge others and look at others in a way that you would never look at us.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit. That means your spirit. Revive us, oh God. Call forth ones was dead to be alive again, God. And only from you, only from you. God, that you would come and do it in your orderly fashion, the way you are. In your goodness and in your mercy, God.
All criticisms and judgments divide, separate, make us contenders with one another, unlovely towards each other. Break the church, break relationships. God, forgive us and restore us to one another as we are restored to you first and foremost. We ask that in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Oh God, that the oneness of the body of Christ manifest as a reality. We pray that, God.
God's been speaking to me about lightning. And what we're doing right now is we're creating an atmosphere for lightning to strike. God started showing me in December that I had a deep sorrow inside of me. It was buried. But attached to all of that were areas of depression and even angers and types of bitterness and critical spirits. Because of all of the attacks that we have endured, not just me, but all of us, as a body of Christ. And we've done the right thing. We've come to God. We've forgiven, but we've sometimes not gone deep enough. And sometimes there's a thing left, especially if there's a judgment type of thing there where we forgive, but there's a bit of judgment still left. It leaves us kind of in a place of fleshly power. And what God was showing me about lightning, and it started in the hospital. Bobby sent me a text about something Pastor said about revival beginning with God. And as she was showing me, God was speaking to me about lightning, and I knew some things about lightning, but I went and searched it up and got my facts right. And lightning is produced because of an atmosphere upon the earth and an atmosphere in the cloud, and it comes from winds and adverse winds that come against and knock against, and it knocks against the electrons and it breaks apart the neutral and it separates the electrons and it leaves a charge that is wanting. every time we see our own need, we know we need God. And I asked God, I said, I keep feeling the word yearning, but is that the right word? And he, I felt like he said, no, it's more than that. It's need. It's needy. We have to know our need. And he showed me in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor know their need. And they need the king. And the king comes and he puts things back in order. Just like an electronic charge of lightning puts back the order of what's been messed up. And those charges happen within the cloud. But on the earth where the adverse winds are blowing, we can liken that to the spiritual conditions of what we go through when adverse winds bang against us and they break our equilibrium in God. And as we repent, just like in the natural, a pathway is built from the ground to the cloud. A pathway is built, and the cloud is sending down also another charge. And when that meets, lightning is formed, and it puts everything back into order. But it's a great light. And it's a great heat. It's great revelation. It's great warmth. And it heats the atmosphere, the air, instantly, creating a sound. A sound that rumbles on and on. And that sound is the voice that comes from the strike of God that puts us back in order. The revelation creates a voice, and the revelation creates a sound, and the heat and the warmth creates a voice, and it rumbles on and on. So, Father, we thank you for this season of repentance. We thank you for this time of repentance that's building an atmosphere, a needy atmosphere that needs the strike of God to put us back into order, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you. I keep hearing the same phrase over and over, the pointing of the finger. Put your fingers down. Put your fingers down. Pointing at the others is not going to help you. Put your fingers down. It's you that's in need, not the others. It's you. When you point the finger, you're only relieving yourself of your responsibility. God is saying, stop pointing the finger. Stop pointing the finger. Tend to your own heart. And do it now. If I'm not mistaken from all that you've said, Patty, lightning really originates on the earth. That the strike occurs at a point, the point which is where God's people are dealing with the things God wants them to deal with. And then he strikes like power to heal, to cleanse, set you free, make you whole. Amen.
Oh, God, help me with this. Help me with this, Lord. While Pastor and Patty were talking, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When you criticize your brothers and sisters, you're criticizing me. You are saying, I didn't know what I was doing when I created them. And I asked God, I said, God, I don't know how to love. I know how to see what's not you. And he's showing me, if you love a person, if you've been discerning it incorrectly, If you see something in your brother or sister, first of all, it's an indication to come into the secret place with me for you. Because the speck that's in your brother's eye is a beam in yours. But what I'm encouraging my beloved children, is that the fear of the Lord, the honor that is due me, comes. If you love me, then you will pray for your brothers and sisters first. And it'll keep you. It'll keep you in my presence. And I just want to say that I didn't understand why everybody couldn't be. I thought oneness was being just like me. I understand about a toe isn't an ear and an eye isn't a nose. But there was something in me that wanted to say we should all kind of look alike, but we don't. So what the Father's saying to you is intimacy. Intimacy with me. And I give you these opportunities, but your adversary, the devil, wants to say to you, open your mouth and talk about him. And what do I say about your tongue? It sets hell on fire. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Speak to me, and I will give you words of love, not only for you and I, but for your brothers and sisters.
God, I pray that you begin to strip away the veneer of our lives, the pretense, the pride, and the hypocrisy. You can start with me, God. Deliver us from all self-righteousness. Establishing our own rules of right that elevate us against our brothers, that compare us against others, and give us a false sense of security with you. Righteousness is of you. It is Jesus himself in us. Forgive us, God, for all religious righteousness. Forgive us for thinking we know the word better than others. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray this, that when we have finished with our season of mourning, of remorse, of repentance, that you put off our sackcloth, gird us with gladness, and cause us to dance again and to rejoice in you. And that would be the end of it all. That repentance is not an end in itself, but a beginning to the restoration of our deep relationship with you. But I pray, God, you make it thorough. Do a thorough work in us, not a superficial one. For we are prone to finish before you have concluded your work. Do not let us do that, God. I feel that God wants us to do what he instructed Sheila with, and that is to pray for those that we have criticized. That you take the time right now to mention everybody that comes to your mind that you have had some kind of critical judgment against, and begin to lift them before God, and bless them and honor them, and thank God for them. For they're part of your life, and you would not be the same without them. And to love them and to bless them, and to do it now. Mention them and just bring them before the throne of grace and mercy. And as you release them, God will release you. And you will find a freedom in your thought life, in your emotions, in your heart. And you will not be plagued with a constant critical spirit. So bless them now in Jesus' name. We're going to, I think we will be released to continue to do that, and then as God wills, whatever else for this morning. But for the time, would you do that? There are people in your life you need to release and honor and bless and forgive and want for them what you want for yourself. As hard as that will seem, Christ in you will make it possible. Amen. Anybody have a testimony they'd like to share of what God has been doing in your heart this morning? Did I hear you say yes, honey? Oh.
We're praying out for God to fill us, and that's obviously we want Holy Spirit to come. We want the heavens to open up. We want Holy Spirit to fall. And I've been praying this week that God fill me, Holy Spirit fill me more. I hunger and thirst. Give me more hunger and thirst. And that's not a bad prayer. It's a good prayer. And as I was sitting here, I love how Holy Spirit can gently say things. And as Sheila was talking about removing the speck of from our eyes, or removing the plank from our eyes so we can, no. Removing the plank from our eyes before we're pointing out the speck in others, in that critical spirit. Holy Spirit just gently told me, I want to fill you, but you need to let me empty you first. And you need to let me empty you of the muck and mire that has grown, that has built up. Because my spirit is willing, my spirit is able, my spirit wants to be poured out. It is being poured out. It is being poured out. But I can only pour out so much if there's stuff that's sitting. There's unforgiveness, that there's hurts, that there's angers, there's resentments. So without being judgmental, because he never does that, with being so kind, he said, Eric, I will fill you, but let me empty you first. Let me empty you. And just amidst running around with kids and trying to just maintain in your presence, God, I feel like you did the mommy version of emptying me. You didn't need me to sit in your presence for 4 hours, for 3 hours, or for even for 15 minutes silent. You just did it. Said, God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're emptying me so that you can fill me with your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. I thank you, God, that in this time of humility and time of quietness before you, even as Patty prayed, that the atmosphere is ready for you to strike. And that in this silence, in this sobriety, in this time of focus, you were able to just quietly speak to us, individually speak to us, individually minister to us. And I thank you for individually ministering to me, God, that you are emptying. You are emptying me of me. I can't do it, God. I can't do it. It's you, Jesus. It's only you, Jesus. Only you, Jesus. Only you, God. Empty me of me and fill me with you, God. And that cry of our hearts, God, it comes from a broken place, but it's not broken because it's bad. It's broken because you're building back up, oh God. It's building back up in you, Jesus. I can't do this. I can't do this, God. Empty us of ourselves, Lord Jesus. empty us, oh God. Empty us, oh God. Oh, Jesus. I repent, Father God. I repent for the unforgiveness I've held, for the resentment I've held on to. And God, I love how you show us. I love how you show us. I love how you reveal yourself to us and the things that are still in us. And I love that you don't condemn us, that you come in such love. Oh, God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for falling, Father God. And we just say more, Lord Jesus. More. Just more, Jesus. More, God. More. We need more of you, Jesus. We need more of you.
More of you, Lord.
More of you, Jesus. Empty us of ourselves. Empty us, oh God. Empty me of me. No more me, God. No more me. Thank you, Jesus. Jordan uses her pacifier still, and she calls it her me. And... reliance on that. There's a dependency and a comfort on this me. And Holy Spirit's saying, I'm emptying me of me. Let me remove me. Let me remove me. No more me, Jesus. No more me. Just you. Just you, Jesus. Just you, Jesus. Just you, Jesus. Just you, Jesus.
When we cry out for the Lord to come, the word there is ekomai, come ekomai. And it has various applications. It means come from there to here. It also means come up from here, up here. So that we can understand it in several dimensions, that God is, that Jesus Christ is manifesting in the Holy Spirit from heaven to earth, and around us in a wonderful way, but also his life, his presence in us is coming up in us. That is coming up in us. You follow that? So that word doesn't mean just from there to here, but up from here as well to manifest appear in us more. Thank you, God, for that. I want him to appear in us, to come in us. That is the most important thing. Yeah, amen. Sonia came over to me, and she just wanted to share one thought before we leave today, which I think is appropriate about, well, I'll let her share it. Why should I say what she's going to say? Wanna? Yeah, no, that's no problem.
I heard the phrase, what happens when the music stops when we are worshiping? And I wanted just to encourage the whole church to not let this be a Sunday morning thing. And I know I feel like I sound like a broken record, but to earnestly and in humility truly seek the Lord throughout your week for personal revival for your home, for your household, for yourself. Like Pastor mentioned earlier, take your finger off others, point it back at yourself, and not in a self-judgmental way, not in a judgmental way, but Lord, show me first what needs to change in me, but seek him throughout the week for Asbury College, for that move that's happening there. But just remember, that's the same Holy Spirit there that's here. So it's not like he's confined to one place, and he's going to respond when his people call out in repentance and in humility. So be encouraged to, if you need to be on your face for the rest of the week and call out of work, go for it. Seek him in all that you do. In every quiet moment you have, seek him on behalf of this outpouring, because we need him, because the world needs him. And we need to be a changed people that looks a lot more like him than we do right now. So be blessed in that, and love you guys. This was very encouraging on several levels.
Yeah. Thank you. I love you guys. With that, let's just be released and let God be God in our lives throughout the rest of the week. We'll come back again next Sunday for more, Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.